Tour Junkies. What's going on, Golf Addicts? DB here with a course breakdown. PGA National, the former host, the Honda Classic, is now the Cognizant Classic at the Palm Beaches. My word in heaven, what are we even doing? Anyway, we're here at PGA National, and it is a wild week. It's usually a high variance situation. I'm going to go over only the things you need to know about the golf course. Nothing that you don't. I'm not going to bore you with all this other BS that a lot of people talk about. Forget it. And I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to show you on Bet the Number how the course has played over the last 5 years and some key things to point out, as well as open up the custom model. And I've got a handful of names. I'm doing it a little different today. I've got the custom DB's early custom model built out on Bet the Number since the field was loaded on Friday. And I've got a handful of names favorited that I want to just bring your attention to, because I think each of them have an interesting storyline. I'm probably not going to get to all of them, but we're going to get to a handful of them. And I'm going to give you a couple of interesting caddy nuggets that we've gotten in the last couple of years about this golf course that are contrary to what you are going to read and what you're going to see in a lot of course preview videos this week. We'll see who's right. All right, let's get into it. So let's start off by just covering the basics. It's PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, the first event of the Florida Swing. It's been here for a long, long time. Hate to see the Honda go. Don't have any clue what Cognizant is. It sounds like a wiener medicine, some kind of dick upper. You know, if you need to be, if your wiener's less cognizant and needs to be more cognizant, have one of these pills, you know, but you could have, you know, heart attack, you could have Alzheimer's immediately, and even in your 20s, and your insides could turn out. But I don't know what it is. It's a Fazio original with the Jack Nicklaus redesign. It's a par, actually, I think, yeah, it's a par 70. Is it a par 70? I think, yeah, par 70, 71-25. So not a super long course, but boy, there is a ton of water, comes into play on like 15 holes for the most part. And really, water and wind, that is the defense of this golf course for sure. Now, I do think there's one interesting scorecard change. Let's see. Sorry, par 71 for the 2024. What was the? I had a note. I thought there was a scorecard change. Hang on. Sorry. Let me get to this. Maybe I'm thinking about a different golf course. Yeah, that's probably the case. Yeah, I think I'm thinking about a different golf course. Anyway, excuse me, sorry. No. Yeah, hole 10 is going to be a par 5. That's right. They're gonna use the back tee instead of just putting like a vehicle on it, some motorcycle or something, or a car. I think it's usually a car. So 10 is going to be a par 5 this year. So par 71. I knew there was confusion there somewhere. So we're gonna have the par 5 third on the front nine, and then 10 and 18. Par fives on the back nine. You've got a pretty juicy set of par threes here. They're pretty difficult. The par threes here are among some of the most difficult on the PGA Tour. Jack Nicklaus did some green renovation back in 2019, made them a little larger and exchanged, put in some different Bermuda grass. Pretty grainy, typical Florida Bermuda stuff here. Like I said, wind and water are the main defense of this golf course. If the wind is up, you can expect 10 to 12 under to win this thing. The wind is a little more subtle. You can see what Chris Kirk did last year, won at 14 under. These are your past champions. Now, I will say this. The Tour Junkies have hit back-to-back-to-back champions here at what was the Honda, now the Cognizant. We hit Chris Kirk last year as the famous Pat Perry butterfly cocoon drawing on his face situation coming out of the betting funk and hitting Chris Kirk in the playoff over Eric Cole at 40-1. The year before that, I hit Sepp Straka at 150-1. He won at 10 under. The year before that, we both had Matt Jones on the card. He was the only player we both had on the card. He won at 12 under, shot a course record 61 in the wind that day. I think it was that Thursday. He won at 100-1. We've also hit four of the last five winners at this tournament. We did not hit Sung Jae in 2020, but I hit Keith Mitchell at 9 under at 150-1. You see, we've seen a lot of like bombs or favorites. Back in the day, it was like Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott. All favorites kind of would win here. Rory's won here, I think, pretty sure. But then a ton of triple-digit bombs like Straka, like Matt Jones, like Keith Mitchell. Padraig Harrington in 2015 won this thing at 400-1. Russell Henley won at 300-1. Michael Thompson, remember him? He won here at like 300-1. We've really seen a wide array. Chris Kirk being in that 40-1 range, Sung Jae being in that 30-5, kind of in the 35 range, kind of that mid-tier is kind of an outlier. But there's a ton of variance at this golf course. Don't get it twisted. Tons of double bogeys, tons of big numbers, the wind, the conditions. It is a hard course, one of the hardest courses on the PGA Tour every single year. And if the wind's up, this thing can play like a major. Tons of, you know, of crapping in your own toilet this week, you know, your home toilet. If you're one of those people who like to, you know, you can't take a dump at Target. You got to be at home and you're a tour player. You're probably at home this week. A lot of Jupe Life people, Palm Beach Gardens people, a lot of locals, a lot of sleeping in your own bed conversation this week. So just get ready for that. Already talked about the variance. There's a lot of hard holes here. Those par threes are tough. This is not a, you know, the biggest, this is, you're going to see it when I open up Bet the Number here in a second. We're going to look at the golf course. This is about avoiding big numbers. All right, let's actually do that. Let me share my screen. Let's open up the course page for the Honda. Let's see. All right. Wrong page. Hold, please. Let me get the other. Wait a minute. I don't even have it open. That would be my problem. Hold on. Here we go. All right. I'm going to share this screen. Golly, you know, you would think I would have this figured out by now. How to share my screen and do stuff, but I don't. You know, we're going to expand this to the last 5 years. Give me a little bit bigger sample size. We're on the course page on Bet the Number. Make sure you can see that. Yep, you can. Okay. So we're going to expand the last 5 years, and these are our averages. 60% fairways, that's basically tour average. 60% green and reg, that's under tour average. Scrambling's about average. 3-putt from outside 25 feet is about average. Less birdies than average, more bogeys than average. Par three scoring goes up. Par four scoring goes up a little bit. Par five scoring is about the same. You know, when you think about off the tee here, it is not I already said it's not really a long course. Now it's a par 71, 7,100 yards. It's technically now playing, it's a little shorter. Although I don't think it's really going to change the scores all that much. There's water everywhere, as we mentioned. Guys are going to club down. That's one thing that we've heard over the years, we've seen over the years, and Bet the Number, if you scroll down here and look at the off the tee section, it's not really a bomber's paradise. It's a 5.1 out of 10, only about 8 driver holes. When you go back and look, Bet the Number runs the statistics, the radar data to calculate how many times guys are hitting drivers off par fours and par fives. Guys will club down, longer hitters will club down to make sure that they are in the short grass. And really, there's not a lot of rough penalty here either. It's just avoiding the hazards. It's avoiding the water, right? The fairways are actually pretty narrow. So, you know, hitting them is hard, even if you club down. But we have seen a lot of longer hitters win here, though. I mean, I already mentioned a couple names, you know, Keith Mitchell, Justin Thomas, Fowler was pretty long back in 2017. Adam Scott in 2016 was pretty long. I would say Kirk, pretty not long. Straka's kind of average. She's not as long as people think. Matt Jones is probably pretty average. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. Like I said, a lot of variance here. So that's really off the tee. That's kind of all you need to know in terms of off the tee. Guys are going to club down. A lot of different types of players off the tee can win here. This is definitely a difficult course, both off the tee and on approach because of water. You see the green regulation number go down. That's despite the greens being expanded by Jack Nicklaus and the renovation because of the wind and the water situation. That is what happens. It's a tough second shot course, and it does get plenty of mid-iron action. Your mid-irons need to be dialed. Let's take a look at what the distance distributions have been last 5 years. Here we go. So you can see that about 14 shots on average per round come between 126 and 225 yards. That's over the last 5 years. You can see all that right here. Most of them from the fairway, some from the rough. You can see the rough penalty, not much concern there. You have a couple shots around over that 225 mark, you know, likely into those par fives, but there's some beast par fours again, especially into the wind. So your mid irons need to be ready to go. This is not a wedge fest. And you know, with the green regulation numbers being a little bit lower than average, you are going to have to do something around the green. So as we look around the green on Bet the Number, we can see a pretty even shot distribution, from, you know, around seven around the green shots per round over the last 5 years come from just off the green to 30 yards. And it's a pretty even distribution between bunker, rough, and tight grass. I think having some experience chipping and being comfortable chipping off of grainy Florida Bermuda is going to be nice to have, something I would probably be looking at. In fact, I don't think I need to probably factor that into my model. I can't remember if I did. I know I have chipping in there, but just Bermuda, Florida, Bermuda chipping. I'm not sure. I might have to make that adjustment. You're going to have to use your short game here a little bit. I mean, that's what Matt Jones did. You got to use your short game to save pars, to save big numbers, to turn doubles into bogeys, and to not compound mistakes. And obviously to, you know, take advantage of the par fives as well. That's something you're going to have to do. And then in terms of putting, it's not a putting contest for sure. You know, sometimes we get variance because it's a putting contest and, you know, it's like, who's going to make the putts, but we really don't see, it doesn't turn into that. It's a ball striking contest with a lot of trouble, but comfy Bermuda putters and especially good putters inside that 10 to 12 foot range will do quite well here. There's not a ton of undulation, not a ton of big slopes, not super tricky to figure out. Again, as long as you're comfortable on Florida Bermuda, I think that's good. So a couple things that are, you know, and I like this feature on Bet the Numbers. We look at past performers. I've got it sorted to top five. You know, we can look at the last five winners here. You can see a lot of green in the approach metrics. Matt Jones really crushed it around the green that year, but there were some pretty windy conditions there. You can see when it's not as windy, the last 2 years, it appears, strokes gained around the green goes down considerably for kind of your top contenders. You know, make the putts. And hit your irons really nicely. But, you know, if we expand that out to top fives, Eric Cole didn't have to rely a whole lot on chipping last year either. Tyler Duncan did okay, but, you know, not a ton of peak chipping, except like the Matt Jones, Mackenzie Hughes 2020 range. The weather's going to be important. That's obvious. So the weather's going to be important. That's going to be a good factor to take a look at. So before I open up the custom model, a couple things that we have heard from caddies over the years that are a little counter to what you may read. And, you know, some of these things are just, they are kind of subjective. Despite your favorite tout person putting them in their article every week and making a convincing argument, a lot of this is subjective. Golf is subjective. It's a hard sport to nail down. It's a hard sport to handicap. What may suit one guy's eye for one reason to another guy, to another player, completely would disagree. I mean, we talk to players all the time, talk to caddies all the time. And there are some things that they're all pretty set on. And there are some things that, you know, they definitely differ on, and it feels different for each player on maybe on the same golf course and definitely on different golf courses. So, you know, we take all these things with a grain of salt. The data is important. That's why we're happy to have our friends at Bet the Number. So before I get into that, I mean, listen, if you've not gotten involved with Bet the Number, it's an amazing platform, improving every single week. The live scoring stuff has been insane. The live scoring updates has been so awesome. We've used it to take advantage on Prize Picks, on Underdog, betting matchups, taking advantage of props on FanDuel and DraftKings a couple weeks ago and this week as well for Mexico. You can scan the QR code if you're watching here on YouTube. There's also links in the description on the podcast and YouTube. You do not want to miss out on what Bet the Numbers got cooking. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Let me show you, actually. I'll just open up my screen and show you the live stats. So if you go to the tournament page, once they tee off on Thursday, you can go here and you'll see live tournament stats coming in, and you can break it down between round one, round two, round three. You can see raw values. So if you want to know exactly how many strokes they've gained putting or how many birdies they've made, you can see how they rank in the field. That's important. And then you can click on that row and you can see that player's scorecard. Let me look at Chase Knapp's round three scorecard. My God, 11 birdies is insane. You can sort this by however you want. You can also see live odds if you want. And these are all coming in directly from DraftKings. I can expand this, top 10, whatever I want to do. I can expand all that. This is an amazing tool. You can see the live updates going on right here, coming straight from PGA Tour ShotLink data. So you know it's good. We get it refreshed every 10 minutes. Very accurate. Just take advantage of what Bet the Number is offering. Okay, and I'm going to show you this custom model, which is about as custom as it gets. Now, they do throw out all the useless stuff. You know, what's my guy done in January when it's below 40 degrees and gas is $3 a gallon? Let me go down that hole. You know, like, there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that you can get trapped into doing. Bet the Number throws all that out, all those stats. Listen, Bet the Number has the shot link data licensed from the PGA Tour. We get every stat the PGA Tour gets. We can filter it however we want. But the people behind the scenes at Bet the Number who are smart, who know how to do this stuff, who do it professionally at a certain level for the PGA Tour, know what stuff matters, what stuff is noisy, and what stuff is not. And so it's intentionally left out if it's no good. So that's something good to know. All right, so the two things I'm talking about, one involves chipping. You know, statistically, there are some, I think overall, as an average, this place shows that it's not that difficult to chip from. But what we've heard from a couple of different people, caddies, is that on some of the bailout spots, some of the places where you know you need to miss on key holes, it's actually pretty tough to chip around. That really being good at that grainy Bermuda stuff is going to matter. So that's just a little nuanced thing that I think is something to know. And then the second thing is, of late, there's this trend of kind of draw bias suiting this place, which is kind of weird. I mean, Jack Nicklaus has had his hand in this golf course. You could see certainly some guys who hit a cut play well here. But I mean, Chris Kirk, Eric Cole, 1 and 2 last year, certainly draw bias players. Sepp Straka is a draw bias player. Matt Jones is a draw bias player. You know, so I mean, Ricky Fowler, when he won, was a draw bias player. It's interesting to see that it's actually maybe trending towards favoring that guy who may hit a draw. So I don't know, something to think about, something to know. All right, let's open up the model. I want to go over a couple of these names, then we'll get out of here. All right, so I've got the model here, and I've only showing my favorites because these are only just names I want to talk about, not necessarily my favorite players, but names I want to talk about. Before I do, let me show you. Well, this is DB's Cognizant model here. And if I show you the inputs, I've got strokes gained off the tee. I've got, wait a minute, where's my, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put some in it. I think I messed up. Hold on. Let me go back to here. I don't know if this is right. Sorry. Hang on. Hold, please. I think I forgot to save, actually. I think that's what I did. No, I didn't. Okay, maybe this is it. Yeah, maybe this is it. I don't need the odds. Let me get this out of here. Okay, sorry. Here we go. Sorry, I'm a ding-dong. Strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, strokes gained around the green. Got a little bit of that. Some putting. Approach from the green from 125 to 200. Big bucket there from the tee and from the fairway. That's in there. Strokes gained putting from 4 to 10 feet. That's a big one. That's in there. Bogey avoidance, par 3 scoring average, driving accuracy, and strokes gained tee to green. This is filtered to only show me PGA National and up to 16 rounds. Now, I do have the weight. This is a fun fact here on Bet the Number. If you have the weight wrong, either over or under 100%, and you still hit apply, Bet the Number will behind the scenes ratio it all out to make it all add up. So somewhere my math is off. I'll have to fix that later. But that's all you need to know. That you can make the mistake mathematically or not have to worry about it, and they'll just ratio it out based on the stats that you've selected. So no big deal there. All right. And so I want to show some of my favorites here. Okay. So if I sort this by model rank, you can see Adam Svensson, 2 in the model. 2 in the model. Now, the guy can't putt, worth a crap. Let's look at his rankings here. And I think he's interesting because you'll see this. You'll see a lot of mixed bag when it comes to course history and recent form, incoming form, coming into the Honda. If you look over the last couple of years, there's some good, there's some bad, there's some absolutely nothing. And again, it speaks to the variance because, you know, I mean, Svensson top 10 at the Genesis, which is good. I mean, that's a course that definitely tests your all-around game. And he showed out. He's got a top 10 here in 2022. It's an interesting spot. JT Poston's an interesting one because he has really a pretty bad record around here. I think part of it is JT doesn't love the wind. He doesn't like playing in the wind. You know, waste management missed the cut. That was a windy situation. I know he doesn't like playing in the wind, so we'll see. Because I think he could potentially be an interesting spot if it's not windy and people put too much into that course history right there. Because he's been playing great, and he checks a lot of boxes, obviously. Hoagie is interesting. He's an interesting case study here. Hoagie checks a ton of boxes, great approach player. But why does he suck here? If this is such an approach situation, why does he suck here? And he sucks here on approach. Like, it's not like he just can't putt here. It's his approach is terrible. I think it has to do with being too aggressive. There are certain players who we know are aggressive players. They fire at pins. And, you know, Hoagie being a good iron player probably should be appropriately aggressive, but he should also be appropriately conservative at times. And PGA National is one where you have to do that. So at some point, he has to rethink, retrain his brain at PGA National to be more conservative. And it doesn't seem like he's done that because the approach numbers do not pan out there. Sepp Straka, who is fourth in the last 16 rounds, tee to green here, and obviously has had some consistent performances here. This is about as consistent as you see anybody play PGA National, but comes in a little in lackluster form. You know, I mean, it's not been the best Sepp Straka start to 2024. 12th at the Century, sure. 26th at Pebble in three rounds. Okay. It just hasn't been great. It'll be interesting to see what people do with him. Michael Kim checking a lot of boxes with, you know, not a great record here. Missing his last two cuts, but the approach play has been outstanding. Number one from 125 to 200. Michael Kim could be an interesting player. He's also a draw bias player. He could be an interesting look this week. It'll be, I wonder what people will do with him given the poor record. And the form isn't bad. I mean, obviously, he's, you know, T7 at the Amex, T37 at Torrey Pines. He's added some distance. That can't hurt him. We get to see Mathieu Pavon for the first time since Pebble Beach. Never played here before, but I don't know that that matters. It's not a hard course to figure out. It's not tricked out. But dang it, if he hasn't done two things really well, and that's hit his irons and putt really, really well. I think he is a fascinating play until we see him not play outstanding. I mean, like, the guy has been dialed. So, Pavon, I'm interested in. Daniel Berger, that jupe life, baby. We know he's going to be crapping in his own toilet this week. Two T4s in his last two starts here. We know he's a local, and he's come out this season off the break. You know, not terrible. Top 40 at the Amex, top 30 at Waste Management. Missed the cut at the Farmers. D Boog could be fun. List is an interesting case study because I've said bombers do well here. Mid to long iron plays, typically he's pretty good at. He doesn't really check the box here right now, but typically good at. He's going to be great on these long par threes. Look at this. In the last 16 rounds that he's played, he's third. He's third tee to green. Now, a lot of that might be coming from his 2018 runner-up, but third tee to green. I mean, even in the last three missed cuts, like, tee to green wasn't bad. Right? Gaining strokes around the green, that was pretty much neutral. Gaining strokes around the green, gaining strokes on approach, off the tee, but three missed cuts. But look at the terrible putting. Now, that's kind of what we've come to know of Luke List, but the putting, has it improved? He's gained strokes putting the last two events, right? An amazing amount of strokes gained at the Genesis. Now, he's probably better on POA, but he lives here, okay? He lives in Georgia. He plays at my course at Champions Retreat, so he's quite comfy on grainy Bermuda. I don't doubt that. I mean, we have grainy Bermuda. So Luke could be interesting pivot. You know, what do we do with Doug Gim? Because Gim's going to check a lot of boxes. He's not a super long player, but the irons have been quite good. He's currently T20 in Mexico right now. That's the live update there on his where he stands on the leaderboard, but he's missed all three cuts here. The putter looks like it's also showing some signs of improvement maybe recently. I don't know how he's putting at Mexico, but we'll keep an eye out on Doug Gim. Who else I want to talk about? Shane Lowry's a local. I think he lives in this area or near this area. He's played really well, really consistent course history, a lot like Sepp Straka here, but not really shown much to start the 2024 season outside of the Farmers top 25. What will folks do with old Lowry? Johnny V's played here consistently and played well here consistently. You know, he was popular at in Mexico. We'll see how that turns out. Right now, he's sitting T43. Doesn't check a whole lot of boxes other than that. Sungjae, what are we going to do with Sungjae? Because he's played well here, but, man, his form is bad. Fowler is obviously a past champ. He's not playing super great either. I think Matt Wallace is interesting, who's currently T6 in Mexico, because, I mean, he doesn't rank highly in the model. That's why I selected him, is because these are kind of the guys down at the bottom of the model that might actually be interesting pivots. Wallace could be that guy. If he's hitting it well in Mexico, which I think he is, he's got a good short game for the most part, T20 here in 2019. Again, there's a ton of mixed bag form and course history coming into previous top 10 finishers the last couple years at PGA National. So Wallace is interesting considering how well he's playing. SH Kim was the popular play. I can't believe he was as popular as he was for Mexico, and then he disappointed a lot of folks with a miscut, including myself. But a high upside player. Is he too aggressive? Potentially. He makes a lot of birdies and bogeys, and that may be because he's aggressive. He's a young player. These South Koreans, Siwoo Kim, SH, they tend to be aggressive types, so probably not a great spot for him. And then finally, we just got to throw him up there because everybody loves him. Minwoo, let him cook, huh? Everybody's so excited about Minwoo, and he doesn't even have a top 10 in 2024. He does have a T21 at the Amex. Disappointed at the Farmers. Thought he was a great fit for there. Thought he was a great fit for Waste Management. The guy still can't hit an iron, and I think that spells trouble for Minwoo. So, you know, if you ask me, a popular Minwoo Lee, I don't really think I want much to do with this this week. So that's an early look at the model. Hope everybody enjoyed the preview. Please click the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Drop a comment. Tell me what you think, who you like. I don't know, something stupid. Tell me anything. Just put a comment in there. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, okay? And check out our friends at Bet the Number. All right, that's it for me. Check out the podcast this week and have a great week. See you.